You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And now, the show that very few asked for, but that many will grow to appreciate. Someday. It's your behind-the-scenes access to The Greg Hill Show. It's The Greg Hill Post Show with Jackson Burns.
Boom. All right. Hello, fellow producer Shime. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Jackson. What's going on, bud?
It is the post show with Jackson and now Shime. So, Shime, I have a lot of questions for you.
Ooh, okay. Shoot.
It's, I mean, it's not going to take that long, don't worry. But I do have a, I did some notes, you know.
Oh, wow. Jeez, you really came prepared.
Well, you're a fellow producer, so I must, you know, show you the respect that you deserve.
I appreciate that.
So, Shime, what happened on today's show? I can't even remember.
Oh, today's show, we,
It was a Mac and Zappy argument resurrected. Yep. I know that.
Yeah, a lot of Mac arguments going on. Is Mac the guy? Is Mac broken? That was kind of one of the bigger topics, especially because I had brought it up in my lead. Andy Hart had mentioned it on the station and actually on the Six Rings podcast yesterday. And so it was a topic I felt was important to bring up. And on top of that, I think it's more so even more than Mac Jones. It's the offense. So we had a lengthy discussion about that, and Greg is left alone on Mac Jones Island.
Greg is very lonely on Mac Jones. Well, he's got Fourier still, supposedly.
That's true. Him and the good old Hillier.
Hillier. We don't know if that's actually true, though, because, I guess he is. I guess he does say it on the show, right? Fourier, he does support Mac.
I believe
Mac.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, those two guys, they can you know, hang out on the island by themselves. I'm not a fan of Mac. I think I'm on your island with the Mac Jones thing.
Thank you, Jackson. I appreciate your support.
Of course. us producers going to support each other. Now, speaking of supporting each other, how do you set up your laptop so your mic does not block your view?
Because so
I'm going to tell you, I'm sitting in a very awkward position right now on my couch.
So that's the thing. I don't have a laptop. I actually have a desktop computer at home. So my camera is situated in a higher position. My camera comes down. Because yours is a laptop, your camera's coming up. It just naturally sees your microphone.
Yes.
Mine is well positioned.
Well, that microphone is very far away from your face, but I can hear you very clearly.
Yeah, it's an excellent microphone. It's one of the Blue Yeti microphones. They do a great job. You know?
Oh, very nice.
Splurged a little bit on it. Got it as a Christmas gift. It was great.
Nice. Yeah, I got my my mixing board as a Christmas gift. That's the key when you're radio is you ask your, you know, whenever you have a birthday or Christmas, you ask your lady or your friends for radio stuff.
Always.
Yes. So tell me about your career path, because I see you every day. I know you, but I don't know of you. I don't know your history. I don't know how you became to be where you are.
Yeah, so I was just kind of working my way through life for a few years. I worked at a warehouse for a while. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I decided to go to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Yes, me too. Yay.
And while I was at CSB, I got an internship at WEEI, thanks to Ben Kitchen, who at the time was the executive producer of the Dale, Keefe, and Holly program.
That is a program that is in the annals of history.
Yeah, so that's got to be, 5 or 6 years ago now? And so I got my internship, and then right after my internship, I got hired, and I started working overnights, and I was doing overnights, getting stuff ready for, at the time, it was Kirk and Callahan, and so then I have grinded my way up through WEEI over the last 6 years or so, until I became the morning show executive producer just earlier this year.
So were you, what were you doing for Gresham Keefe?
So I was the associate producer there. So I was in the where Curtis sits normally.
Yeah, you were in the Curtis chair there.
Yep, and I was there. I had, when they had moved to middays and it became just, and it was just Dale and Keefe, I was there a ton still. And then I became a permanent fixture there. And eventually it became Gresham Keefe, and I was doing the same thing. I was the producer. I was the guy answering phones, helping getting stuff ready for the shows every day. And yeah, that was kind of my duties there. A little bit different than what I do now, whereas I'm running the board and everything like that.
Yeah. Greg always says that you're his guy and that he kind of recruited you. Is that, how did that whole thing happen? Like, was it the Ken getting promoted that started it all off?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, Ken was the executive producer at the station for a long time. Him and Curtis were, and so. You know, I never thought that an opportunity would open up there. And then Ken got his promotion up to being management, and that position ended up opening up. And I think, you know, I kind of clicked with Greg and everyone else in the show. I had worked with Wiggy a lot because he used to be on Dale and Keefe 3 days a week before he was on the morning show. So I had worked with Wiggy a ton prior to that. So him and I had a good relationship. Curtis and I had always had a pretty good relationship overall. So that was a good connection there. I didn't know Courtney all that much, but her and I get along great. And Greg and I kind of just click. We like a lot of the same things. Some people have even considered me a bit of a mini Greg. So him and I get along great, and we've kind of just gone from there.
So back then, was Ken just like kind of another producer? Was he like a John Anderson or a Ryan kind of guy just like hanging around the station? Or did you know he was made for, you know, bigger and better things, so to speak?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, no, I mean, Ken was always really good at his job. I mean, he had been the morning show producer since before I was there. Ken was always ready. He was always working his way up the corporate ladder and found the right opportunity, and good for him. It's awesome. And now he's corporate Ken.
He is corporate Ken. I got to tell you, I've had a lot of bosses. He's a really good boss. You know, he listens and reacts, you know?
Yeah. In my short time at EEI, we've had a few different bosses, and Ken is right at the top of the list. I mean, he understands the trials and tribulations of being a producer.
Exactly. Yep. Because he's been there, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. He's done it all already. And so he wants to work with you. He wants to, make sure everything is a-okay and good to go, and that, you know, you're in the best situation, while at the same time the shows are doing as good as they can, and so he wants to just kind of make everyone better. And
so that leads me to a little bit of it's not fun really for us, but fun behind the scenes info. So on Monday we have Boomer Esiason on. And as you know, you record that before the show around 5:20-ish. Yep. And so he doesn't, I don't know if Greg and Ken had a conversation or if it was just Ken's like executive move, but Ken is coming in to produce the show on Monday because he does not, what he told me was I have to get in Greg's good graces gradually. Instead of, and he doesn't, if I super fuck up, you know, the Boomer Esiason thing at 5:20 in the morning, that sets a bad tone for the whole day, and that sets a bad tone for my future with the show. So it seemed like a punishment at first that he was doing it, but after talking to him, it seems like he's actually trying to protect me and trying to propel me save me from myself, so to speak.
Yeah, There's a lot that goes with producing the morning show. You know, now that I have taken over the duties, I see what Ken did every single day, and you know, it's really impressive, and it's definitely not an easy task. So there's a lot of things going on there. But you know, I felt like I've, you know, so far done a pretty good job and stepped into it, and it just takes a lot of time. Like I've been working at that station now. I was with Dale and Keefe and Gresham Keefe, and I even did Red Sox for a while as well. So I know a lot of the inner workings there. So for me, a lot of the stuff was, you know, a natural kind of just move from time slots, really. And that's what made it easy for me.
When do you feel like you gained Greg's trust? Was there like a moment in time or a day or a certain situation, or did it just kind of come naturally?
I think it kind of came just kind of naturally. Like I said, him and I have very similar tastes. And so, you know, he found out that I think one of the first times Greg actually knew my name was when he found out that I really loved OAR. And he actually was having OAR for a Greg Hill Foundation concert. And so he invited me over, and I got to talk to him at the event and stuff like that. And so that was kind of like the first time Greg and I really kind of talked about, or talked in general, you know, and communicated and stuff. So it was,
yeah, he's not
so
much of
probably,
a,
I would say that was probably when him and I kind of got on the same page
more. Yeah, I would think being out at like a social event would probably, you know, make things a little bit less business like, because Greg is very business like, you know, he doesn't much talk off the air about personal stuff, or you know, it's all the show, which is awesome. You know, it's respectable, and it's, you can see why he's been a badass for 35 years.
Yeah, I mean, Greg's done an awesome job. I mean, he has put together quite the little empire over here, and it's been really cool. So I've been very fortunate to land in Greg's good graces, if you will.
Yeah.
And have the opportunity to work with him and everybody else on the morning show. It's been awesome.
Yeah, because it's scary when you mess up. That those eyes, he's gonna very I would call it a patented stare when he's very angry at you.
Yeah, I mean it's you know, it is what it is. I'm one of those people that don't really let things kind of bother me. So if I screw up, which I've screwed up multiple times on the show, people have heard it right away,
and people are very eager to let you know that,
to point it out. Oh yeah, and that's fine. I don't mind. I screw up all the time. I don't care. But like, I also just, I don't let it bother me. I just kind of keep moving, and I'm like, you know what? Short-term memory loss, man, it is what it is. You mess up, you get right back. You find a good opportunity for a drop, or you make a good rejoin or a good open, and then boom, you're right back in and you're good to go.
And I'll, you know, I'll be the first to say that Greg is very quick to forgive too. You know, he'll yell at you and you know, for 30 seconds, and then 30 seconds later, he's like, you know, shit happens. You know,
exactly. And I don't necessarily even think that it's, you know, like he only gets upset because he just wants to put out a good product.
Exactly.
That's the thing, it's all about the product, and he wants it to be really good. Right. So it matters to him. And I think that's really important. I think that's a really a good thing to have when you're in this business, is that you want everything to be perfect and you want everything to be good. And we've heard Curtis talk about it all the time. And the old show would have, like, you know, ripped into you. Greg gets frustrated when things aren't perfect, which I understand, because I want things to go really, really well too. And so when they don't, I get frustrated at myself. And so that's why it's one of the reasons it's easier for me sometimes, is because, like, if I screw up, I'm more mad at myself than Greg's going to be mad at me.
Yes,
and so
yeah,
five
exactly.
Minutes later, when I'm over it, I know he's over it, or whoever's over it, and we're good to go.
He pretty much forgets about it. You know, he moves on to the next thing. And that's what I've worked in morning radio for a long time. Like, I worked with Carlson and McKenzie for a long time. And I always thought it was fascinating that, like, after a great break, or like, you know, a funny bit where everybody's laughing and everybody's like, you know, all gung-ho and stuff, when the mics turn off, nobody says like, oh, that was fucking awesome, that was fun. Like, everybody just like moves on to the next thing, and it's like a professional mentality that I respect, and it comes with experience, because after every good break or every bad break, I'm always wanting to talk about it. You know, I always want to either figure out what went right or what went wrong. But these guys, they just move on and say, you know, show goes on. Let's do something fucking great next time.
Yeah, the key is to always be looking. It's, you know, we talk about Tom Brady all the time. It's his big thing was, I want the next ring. In this business, a lot of the time it's, okay, let's move on to the next segment. Like, let's go. Like, that's, and that's kind of the mentality you have to have, because cool, that segment was great, but if you don't have a good segment, the next one, people are going to stop listening.
Yeah, you're only as good as your last show is what my first boss told me.
Exactly.
Yep. And but it's great when he comes in to talk to you guys and talk to Kurt and get, you know, get Curtis's angles, because, and people may not know this, or a lot of people probably do, but Curtis is a really, he's a good, like I said yesterday, he's a good point guard. He really aims the show in the direction that it goes sometimes, because Greg leans on him for, you know, sports takes and stuff, because, you know, he wasn't a sports radio host for a long time, you know the first 30 years of his career. And,
yeah, and those AAF transplants don't necessarily know how long Curtis has been doing this. Like, Curtis talks about it all the time. Like, he has been in this business. God, he's been in this business since I was a kid. Like, he's been here a long, long time, and he's been doing a lot. He's been with a lot of different hosts, and he's been on the morning show in particular for a very, very long time. So, you know, he more than anybody knows what it takes to make good radio in the morning, because he's been around. Like, I play the drop every once in a while, or all the time now. We set the dialogue for the city. Like, it's true. Like, in a lot of ways, it's very, very true, because that's exactly what he has been tasked with doing almost every day. And so there's very few people that know what it takes to succeed in a sports media market quite like Curtis.
Yeah, he's an expert at it, and you know, what he went through and how he came back is, I don't know, I really respect the dude. He's a really good guy and really fun to work with. He's a little bit awkward, just like all of. I mean, I think most radio people, especially off the air, are very awkward and very, you know, just different.
Oh yeah, you have to be. Like, everybody in this business, it has to be a little kind of
quirky
off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quirky is probably the nice way to put it. I would say off in some ways, just because, like, and I think you see that a lot in all different kinds of medias, whether it's television or, you know, radio or whatever. I just think in order to kind of think outside the box and be this way, you kind of just have to be off your rocker.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit.
I am very much in that category, and I recognize that, and I'm okay with that.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's a character thing that, like, you know, a lot of people, you know, people can listen to sports takes from anybody, but if you know, they want to hear somebody with, you know, some passion and some character behind it, and Curtis has definitely got that. Well, I think we all have that a little bit in some veins.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. If you want to have any longevity in this business, I think you kind of have to.
All right, so two more things.
Okay.
Besides the hours, what's the hardest thing about the job? Because obviously the first thing is waking up at 4 a.m.
Man, so I think sometimes people don't realize how much of a 24-hour kind of job it really is.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Just, you have to constantly be paying attention. You constantly have to be preparing for the next day, the next show, shows weeks in advance. There's constant thinking ahead. I'm constantly on my phone because I'm on social media. I'm trying to, you know, maintain a presence there, keep up to date. And so, you know, my girlfriend always tells me all the time, will tell me, all right, like, can you put your phone down for 5 minutes?
Yeah. It's tough to put, it's tough to leave the office, so to speak, even if you're not.
Yeah,
at the
exactly.
Office.
And so I would say that's probably the hardest part is the fact that our job, we can't really leave work at work, you know, like a lot of office jobs, like when you clock out at 5 o'clock in the evening, you could just leave it in the office. You don't have to worry about it when you go home at all. But with us, a lot of the times you do.
Yeah, it's a 24-hour job for sure. All right, well, I've taken up way too much of your time already, and this podcast is way too long already, so we'll end it there. But thank you for coming on, man, and I will see you tomorrow, and good producing.
My pleasure, Jackson. I'll be on again soon. Don't you worry.
All right, cool. Yeah, I need that because I have to get somebody on every day per Boss Man Laird.
Keeping it strict. I like it.
Yes. All right, bro. Thanks.
See ya.